Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
This is Sharon Vornholt, the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, here today with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. My guest today is Kathy Kennebrook, who is better known as the Marketing Magic Lady. Kathy is the mother of two and is one of the nation's leading experts at finding motivated sellers using many types of direct mail marketing. She holds a degree in accounting and co-authored the book Walking with the Wise Real Estate Investor, which also includes experts such as Donald Trump, Susie Orman, and Ron LeGrand. Kathy has also developed systems and programs that will help make you a marketing superstar, too. Welcome to the show, Kathy. It's great to have you today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, Sharon, and I'm really glad to be here and looking forward to sharing a lot of great information with our folks on the call today.
Well, we love marketing, don't we? There's anybody that knows me knows that, and anybody that knows you knows that.
Yes, ma'am, and we're going to be sharing a lot of really great secrets and a lot of really good information with our folks today.
We are. So let's start out by having you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the whole real estate investing world.
Well, I actually got started about 15, 16 years ago now. And prior to that, I was working in the banking industry and spending a lot of time on the road. I was putting about 100,000 miles a year on my vehicle. I was never home. And I very quickly realized that there had to be something else better out there, you know, than the whole 9-to-5, which was actually not 9-to-5 for me.
Yeah.
And I very quickly realized, you know, that there had to be something better out there. There had to be, you know, something. And anyway, and so one night I was up late watching one of those late night infomercials on how to buy houses with no money down, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if that really worked? And at that particular point in time, one of my customers actually happened to be the gentleman who ran a real estate club meeting in Tampa, Florida. I am from the west coast of Florida. And I called him on the phone and I said, hey, what do you think about this real estate investing stuff? And he said, you know, come to one of our meetings and make that determination for yourself. And so I started going to some meetings and I started going to some seminars. And like a lot of other folks on our call today, I started buying a lot of books and tapes and programs and putting them on the shelf and putting them on the shelf, never to be seen again. Mm-hmm. And after about a year, we had spent over $13,000 on books, tapes, and programs, and we'd done absolutely nothing. And so I said to my husband, I said, you know, we're going to do one darn deal because I want my money back. And so we started driving around looking at some for sale by owners, and we started calling on ads in the newspaper. Let me tell you how much fun that wasn't.
No.
But we ended up buying our very first real estate deal, and that one was the rehabber from Hades, and it took mm-hmm. us 6 months to do the rehab because we didn't have crew. We didn't know anything back then. We did all the rehab ourselves. We worked our jobs all day. We rehabbed all night. I'll tell you right now that if your marriage can survive a rehabber, it can survive anything. But we got that house done, and honestly, that's a home I still own today. We have had the same tenant in that property for 14 years. So that's pretty amazing. So our roots are still with us.
Wow.
But we very quickly realized that all we were doing was substituting one job for another job. And so we very quickly realized that that wasn't quite what we had in mind either. And what we realized by going to these meetings and seminars were there were a lot of people out there making a lot of money, and they were like quick-turning properties. And frankly, I wanted a piece of that action. And one of the things that I kind of noticed was that, and you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, were mm-hmm. the deals that were really getting made and getting done and where the money was really being made was working with the sellers nobody else knew about. Mm-hmm. And so what we started to do was we started to play around with direct mail. We started kind of, you know, niching, and we kind of started honing in on different types of sellers that we knew were much more likely to want to work with us. And all of a sudden, we had a bunch of deals coming at us. And our second deal came along, and the seller calls us on the phone, and he goes, "Kathy, please take my house off my hands. I'll deed it to you. I've got the keys sitting right here." Well, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of motivated seller I want to work with.
Yeah.
And he simply deeded us his property for his mortgage balance at that particular time. And the home was worth $337,000. His mortgage balance was $195,000. He deeded it to us for the mortgage balance. Home needed about $25,000 to $30,000 of rehab, which we chose not to do at that point, because we had enough on the first one. So we ended up selling that home using a round-robin auction. We sold the home for $275,000 without doing any of the rehab to it. And when we walked away from that deal, our check on that deal was $51,635. That's a little more like what I had in mind, and I was just blown away. I was absolutely stunned. I really was. And so at that point in time, my husband and I both decided to jump in, do it full-time, quit our jobs, and move on. And that check was a real turning point for us in our lives, because even though $51,000 is a lot of money, when you're making a decent living and you have two older teenagers eating you out of house and home, $51,000 doesn't go all that far that fast. And so we very quickly realized that we needed to be cognizant of replacing our income quickly. And so we really started honing in on these different direct mail campaigns, and all of a sudden we had more deals coming at us than we knew what to do with. And the rest is history. I've done hundreds of deals since then, and one of the pieces of advice that I would like to really give your folks today is, folks, don't lock yourselves in any one niche, because you're going to leave money sitting on the table. So we pretty much take whatever kind of deal comes at us. So I've done single family homes, I've done townhomes, we've done duplexes, triplexes, and quads. We've done a couple of small apartment complexes. We've done wobbly boxes down here in Florida, which is those mobile homes.
Love that name.
I do vacant land. That's a whole seminar for another day.
Yeah.
So we do whatever comes at us. As long as the deal makes sense and it's a win-win for me and the seller, that's a deal that I'm going to do. And so that's kind of how we got started in the business. And we've done a ton of deals in that time, and we do, you know, all kinds of different things. So I love direct mail, and I love real estate investing, you know, with all my heart. It's been just a wonderful income stream, you know, for our family.
Well, you know, I know you know this, but I love direct mail too. But, you know, let's just tell folks why you love that so much as opposed to, say, internet marketing, for example.
Well, because it works, and it works really well. And it's not that I love direct mail more than internet marketing. I just understand the concept of multiple marketing techniques, and you have to have direct mail included in these multiple marketing techniques. We do use the internet. I do use Craigslist. We do use banner ads. We have a website. We use all of those marketing techniques. But folks, using direct mail is going to bring you leads that nobody else knows about. And in addition, the thing that's really unique about direct mail as opposed to any other type of marketing is the control that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You can cultivate the exact type of lead that you're looking for in the price range or the area that you're looking for. You can always control the number of pieces that are going out, when they go out, you know, who exactly that you're targeting. And in my case, and we'll talk a lot more about this, I have a response mechanism within the body of my letters so that when I get my responses from my sellers, my deals are already pre-screened for me. You can crank your direct mail up or pull it back depending on what's going on in your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, and Sharon, this is the part that a lot of people, you know, they don't believe me, but they need to, and we're going to talk about this. You are going to reach prospective sellers and lenders who would never get your message in any other way. You know, these are the folks who don't spend their lives sitting on, you know, sitting on the internet. You know, these are folks who don't necessarily get the newspaper. These are folks who may not, you know, necessarily see your signage or what, you know, or whatever. So these are folks you're going to reach that you would never reach in any other way.
Yeah, I agree completely. Direct mail has always been my number one lead source since the day I started in business. I don't think you can beat it. And like you said, there are some groups of people you really can't reach any other way. For instance, I do a lot with probates, and I wouldn't dream of calling up a probate person on the telephone, or, you know, you have to reach some of those folks and some of those niches. It really is the only way to effectively reach them and to stay in touch with them long term. Absentee owners would be another one that comes to mind. Direct mail is perfect for, well, there's no niche it isn't really perfect for. So let's talk about the sellers and the types of sellers you like to work with. What are some of your favorite types of sellers?
Well, I've got a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Absentee owners, obviously, is one of those. And a lot of the ones that we're about to talk about are some of the ones that a lot of your folks may not be thinking about. I love absentee owners. I like out-of-state owners.
Mm-hmm.
For example, these are folks who own homes in your city or county, but they don't live there full time. So maybe, you know, it's somebody that inherited a property in your city or county, but they don't live, you know, they've never even seen the thing in a lot of cases. Maybe they bought it as a vacation home, or they bought it as a retirement home, and now their plan has changed. And it's very difficult to maintain a property that you own far away.
Mm-hmm.
So these are very, very good leads, and that's some of my favorite leads. And we work a lot with specific list brokers who can provide these lists for our folks and for me exactly the way that we want them. Quick claim deeds are another, and so that falls into estate and probate properties a lot. And there's a lot of really good deals that you're going to acquire using a quick claim deed mailing. And so that's another one that we like. We like farming areas by zip code. I've got another direct mail campaign called the multifamily dwelling, and the list broker I work with on this particular direct mail campaign can customize the list for you based on the number of units per building that you're looking for. So that's a very cool for the folks that are interested in long-term income, you know, that they want
mm-hmm.
to be landlords and they are interested in that monthly income. That's a really great direct mail campaign. We find a lot of great properties from vacant properties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle of working on a vacant property right now that came as it was actually three blocks away from a home that we have under contract right now. And it's an upper, you know, it's a $300,000 home. And in my area, $300,000 home is, you know, middle to upper. And so what happened was the lady's father passed away. There's a mortgage on the home. 2.5 years have gone by, and the bank has never filed list pendants or notice of default on that property.
Oh, my word.
And so this is an ideal situation for you to simply get a home dealing with a short sale, because you have a seller who doesn't care and a bank who needs to get a mortgage settled. And so
mm-hmm.
these are ideal situations for a short sale. And so these are the pre-foreclosures that I like to be working with. So that's kind of a combination between the vacant houses and the pre-foreclosures that I really like. There are a lot of really good pre-foreclosure properties that fall under the estate and probate. It's amazing. So those are a couple that I really like. Expired listings. We did one of the biggest deals we've ever done, 13,000 square foot house.
Wow.
$1.2 million. And it came from an expired listing. The house had been listed over 18 months and hadn't sold. And the reason it hadn't sold was because it needed $70,000 of rehab. And that was provided to me by the realtor that I work with. And when we turned around and sold that house, we ended up relisting it with that same realtor and let him have that commission, because we made $129,000 on that deal, and that was enough.
Yeah, and I think you hit upon something that's really important, and that is building relationships in this business. You just can't put a price on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, and the same thing, I mean, like I was telling you early, with my wholesale buyers bring me deals all the time because I treat them fairly, I leave enough money for them to do the rehab and enough money for them to make a paycheck, and so, you know, when my wholesale buyers are driving around and they see a vacant property, they make a list of them and send them over to me and say, hey, Kathy, you know, see if you can get these under a contract and flip them to me. So I've got wholesale buyers bringing me deals on a regular basis, and I talk a lot about that in my system, by the way. Everything that we're covering today, I talk about at length in my system. Military transfers. I don't know if you folks have military bases near, you know, near where you live, but military transfers have been amazing for us. What happens is military woos these men and women in, tells them they're going to be stationed somewhere for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever that might be. They use their VA certificate. They buy a home off base. They move in. They get all comfy, and 6 months later, they get transferred somewhere else. Now they have a home and a mortgage they neither want nor need, and these are an ideal situation for you to have a property deeded to you for the balance of the mortgage. And these are properties that you're going to want to hold on to for a while because you're going to have to build some equity, because usually when they buy them, they're paying pretty much full retail. And in this particular case, working with the military is like working with Section 8 on steroids. Military helps you to find the person going into the home. The military takes the money for your rent out of their paycheck biweekly, and they deposit it into your checking account once a month. If the person destroys your property or damages your property, they've got to answer to their superior officer, not you. So working with the military, and this is another one, you and I were talking earlier about, you know, some of the direct mail campaigns and some of the types of sellers that folks never think about. This is one of them. And folks, you're doing a public service when you do this. You really, really are, because you're providing an answer for these folks when they're stuck.
Yeah.
And military transfers have been wonderful for us because you don't get the damage to your property like you would in a normal rental situation. We've done a lot of lease options with these. We've had a lot of long-term rentals with them. So, you know, because a lot of the times the military are putting their senior officers in your property, which is awesome.
Well, now, we've got a military base, Fort Knox, which is probably, I don't even know, 45 minutes away from here. It's, you know, away from Louisville. But, it, you know, because I don't live in that area, I have to tell you, it's something that I never really thought a lot about was military people. But back years ago, when I was just getting started, I had someone call me with exactly that scenario. They got transferred. And honestly, I was too new all those years ago to even know what to do with the lead. But that's exactly what should have happened, should have taken over the mortgage and just waited it out, you know, because it was a fairly new house, you know.
And I discovered this particular direct mail campaign when my son was stationed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. So we still own homes in Jacksonville, North Carolina, which is like hours away for us. I still own homes that I've had for 4 or 5 years now because I don't want to liquidate them. They're some of my most solid rentals. And I don't, what I see are nice big, you know, nice checks coming into my checking account every month, you know, government checks coming in every month. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So let me back up just a little bit. You were talking about, quitclaim deed properties.
Correct.
Now, do you get those? Can folks get those with a, through a list broker?
Absolutely. They can get it through a list broker. They can also get this particular direct mail campaign from their property appraiser's office. Let's see, property appraiser's office, assessor's office, whatever that's called for you where you live. And the quitclaim deed mailing is a particularly good mailing because it'll bring you a lot of different kinds of deals. Estate and probate, of course. Then there are situations, for example, where an adult child has to put mom or dad into an assisted living facility or a nursing home, and the parent cannot show that home as an asset. So they will simply, by quitclaim deed, deed that home to the adult child. Now the adult child has a home they neither want nor need. So these either will end up creating deals for me with creative seller financing, or they will simply, you know, sell me the home to have a chunk of money now. So that's another way that we use quitclaim deeds. So there, and I go through it in my system and lay out exactly the types of deals that you're looking for with this quitclaim deed mailing. But again, these are deals that a lot of investors simply aren't thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are so many different segments of so many types of sellers and so many, well, little niches for a better term that you can work in, that if you can figure out a way to have multiple lead sources, then that's
correct.
Going to bring you the most leads. You know, I have my favorite bread and butter ones, and you probably do too, but if you're going to have a bigger business, then you need to add, you need to add more to that.
Absolutely. And the direct mail campaigns that we're talking about right now are all included in my system with all the directions that they need to do each one, so they can take a breath and go, oh, okay, cool.
Okay, so good. That's good to know. And before we move on to direct mail and talk about the basics of direct mail, let's talk about one other thing that it made me think about this. Couple of days ago, I had a student contact me, and they were, this is really kind of comical, you know, when you're not 20 years old. They had sent out a mailing to free and clear properties of people over 55 that they thought were elderly and would be ready to sell their home and go into a nursing home. I got a really big chuckle out of that one. So I was trying to explain to them that in my world, just about everybody I know is entrepreneurs, and they're 70 and they still work. They still work, not because they have to, but because
right.
they have this passion for what they want to do. And I was trying to tell him, you're going to have to go a whole lot higher than 55. You just can't say, I want a list of people 55 and older. So what's a way that folks, what do you see as the way to target free and clear properties? Everybody's kind of got their own opinion on that.
Okay, so what we basically do is we do targeting free and clear properties is one of the direct mail campaigns that's in my system, and we go through. And one of the things we haven't really talked about, one of the things that I do, not only do I mail these direct mail campaigns, mm-hmm. but each one of my direct mail campaigns has very specific parameters that we use to hone in even more
mm-hmm.
to find the people who are even more interested in working with us. So not only are we just, like, for example, the free and clear properties, we're not mailing to everybody that's got a free and clear property because that would be thousands.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we use other specific parameters to hone in even more on those folks so that we are buying the properties that we are looking for in our business. So on the free and clear properties, we basically look at the sale date and the sale amount. You know, so we kind of have an idea of how long they've owned this property. The longer they've owned the property, the more interested they may be in selling that property. So that's one of the parameters that I'm going to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to kind of tell me how old they are, you know, a little bit more about, you know, kind of that they may be an older seller. So I'm looking more like the sale date, you know, what that sale amount was, what the assessed value is of that property now, because I'm looking for specific properties and specific price ranges that I like for my own business that I'm,
right.
you know, in these free and clear properties. So those are some of the specific parameters that I'm looking for in that particular direct mail campaign. Another direct mail campaign that I want to touch on really quickly, that's one of the ones that we do a lot, is mailing to attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, if you're not mailing to attorneys, you are so missing the boat. We work with attorneys in our business regularly, and I'm not talking about, you know, the attorneys that do our closings and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about strictly from a marketing standpoint. What we do, we created a direct mail campaign several years ago that is aimed at specific types of attorneys that we want to work with. So once again, honing in, very fine point, honing in on specific kinds of attorneys that we want to work with because they're more likely to bring us deals.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did was we mailed out a letter that we use, and we mail only out to about 40 or 50 attorneys at a time because otherwise it can get a little time consuming. So we mail out like 50 letters. A week later or 2 weeks later, we mail it out again. And then a week after that, we follow up with all of the attorneys who haven't already contacted us. The first time I did this direct mail campaign, we mailed out 40 letters, and I created relationships with four attorneys who still bring me deals today.
Mm-hmm.
See, as you know, and as you and I talked about, if you're a person of integrity and you do what you say you're going to do, you are going to create long-term relationships with these attorneys. And when they have someone come to them who needs to sell a property quickly, no matter what condition it's in order for that attorney to be able to liquidate assets, they're going to call you first. Mm-hmm. So they've got somebody that's coming in and they need to, you know, it's a divorce or it's an estate and they need to liquidate assets, they're going to call you first. And attorneys talk to one another, and that's what's happened to us, is these attorneys talk to one another. And what's ended up happening is not only have we created relationships with more attorneys who bring us deals, but these attorneys know people who have money that they need to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And so these attorneys have brought us private lenders. I actually got a call 7 months ago now from an attorney who is a former state attorney here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls me on the phone and he goes, how come you're not borrowing any money from me? I was like, because we don't know each other yet. And we went to lunch. Seriously, we went mm-hmm. to lunch. And he gave me $1 million credit line to start with.
Awesome.
And now he's turned me on to two other lenders. So now I've got lenders, I've got attorneys bringing me deals. I've got attorneys bringing me money to fund my deals. And it gets even better because attorneys are working with people who are coming out of foreclosure. And these were good people that had good jobs and good credit before they got into an adjustable rate mortgage or medical situations or whatever that might have been. And mm-hmm. so now you've got people who have money in their pockets because they haven't paid a mortgage payment in 2 or 3 years looking for places to live. So now my attorneys are bringing me lease option and tenants for my properties.
Wow.
So when you start creating relationships in your business, folks, you're going to get a lot of great deals. So my attorneys are bringing me deals, funding, and tenants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm liking that. And that's another direct mail campaign that's in the direct mail campaigns that we have created for our students. And this is just, the tip of the iceberg of what we do in our own business.
Right. And I know from my point of view, attorneys can be a great source of leads. It can also, in my city, which is a pretty big, I guess it's not New York City, but, we're in something under 1 million population with all the counties.
Right.
So we're a decent-sized city. The challenge that I had early on when in trying to target attorneys who, like you said, specific ones maybe who would be able to send you probate leads or whatever, bankruptcy, divorce, is that when you looked at the listings, they all said they all did everything, and we all know they all don't do everything. It was very hard to niche down and find someone that actually specialized in what I needed, and that was a challenge that I had.
Okay, because I know that typically in the telephone book, mm-hmm. and when you Google search them and you bring up attorneys, you will find categories.
Mm-hmm.
And in, for example, they'll say, real estate attorneys or, probate attorneys, wills, state and probate, divorce mm-hmm. attorneys, family law, and so forth. And so you'll see specific categories.
Right. But when I looked across those categories, the same people were in every category. So,
okay. Well, that's not a bad thing. I'd still mail to them at that point because now you've got one attorney who's dealing with 3 or 4 of the categories that you're looking for.
Right. Well, let's talk about direct mail. So let's just dive into the direct mail basics and assume that people have never done direct mail. And let's talk about setting up campaigns. And
okay.
I always tell people, a direct mail is not an event. It's an ongoing process. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I agree with you. Direct mail needs to be a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a machine in my business. And the way that I equate that is, you've got to take a couple of steps to implement your direct mail marketing in order to start getting leads coming in regularly. One of the things we do a lot in our business is residual mail. The more you send someone a piece of mail, the higher that response rate gets. And you become an expert in whatever area it is and whatever types of sellers that you're dealing with in your business. And so you've got to you've got to turn on the key and turn on the motor in order for the engine to run.
Mm-hmm.
And once the machine is running, and direct mail marketing is a machine, it will just mm-hmm. continue to spit out lead after lead after lead after lead. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is residual mailings and creating that machine and creating, you know, a situation where not only do we have leads coming in today, but we're constantly sowing seeds for future deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an important point for people to understand is that your response rates go up the longer you continue to mail. And I saw a statistic one time that said, it was specific to real estate, said that 85% of your deals will come after, at or beyond your fifth mailing. Not to
that's
say
correct.
You won't get
that's
deals
absolutely
in the
correct.
Beginning, but yeah, yep. I love that statistic and to tell people, because I even have people that say, yep, I'm going to send out this five mail, direct mail. And I'll say, well, don't bother because you, it's not a four piece or a six piece. It's a forever. You know, and in some niches, like your out-of-state absentee owners, those people are on my list forever. You know, I scrub the list and get a new list, but why would I quit mailing to them after a year or two? I'm sure you've bought deals 2-3 years down the road from those types of folks.
Oh, absolutely. And they will tell me, you know, I've been getting letters from you for 2 or 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And you know what that tells me is that you've been in business for a while and you know what you're doing. And what will happen, Sharon, and you just touched on a really important point. What happens with my sellers is by doing residual mailings, they will contact you first, even mm-hmm. if they've been contacted by somebody else in the meantime. Because in their hearts and in their minds, they've created a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been getting this direct mail piece regularly. They know who you are. They feel like they know who you are. And one of the things that I do in my business is we mail the same piece over and over. I don't mm-hmm. change it up. Because if you're dealing with, for example, with an elderly seller, you don't want to change your piece or change it up because they don't understand that this is the same person they got a letter from 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tested everything we do in our business. We test and track regularly. And so that's something we've always done. And one of the things that we've discovered is by sending the same piece over and over, you're gently touching that seller with your message. And when their situation changes and they're ready to sell, they're going to contact you first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've had sellers tell me, you know, like I said, I've gotten 3 letters, I've gotten 4 letters from you. Funny story. I had a lady call me about 6 months ago, and she said, "You're going to buy my house." And I'm like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, you know. And I said, "Okay, can you tell me a little bit about your situation?" And she says, "You're going to buy my house." It's like, okay, why am I going to buy your house? That's the right question, right? And she said,
right.
"I have now gotten 3 letters from you, and I do things in threes, and you're going to buy my house." She ended up deeding us that property for the balance of her mortgage. So, yeah, we bought her house. So you just never know what a person's inclination is, but
yeah.
Residual mailings work.
Yeah, that is definitely the case. And like you said, they feel like they know you, and they
right.
Often I've shown up at the property, and they'll have a stack of letters neatly tied. And they have them all, even though it's the same mail piece, they have them all. So let's talk about the mail piece. I know you have a preference, letters or postcards?
Letters, all day long. And the reason, let's cover that for a minute. First mm-hmm. of all, the reason that we primarily use letters in our business is because people sort the trash over the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see a postcard and they just look at it quickly, they throw it in the garbage. They don't necessarily even read it. And that's one of the reasons that I use a letter. Another reason that I use a letter is because I'm not trying to shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really big difference. There's a shotgun approach and there's a targeted approach. My direct mail campaigns are highly targeted. If I was using a shotgun approach and mailing out 10,000 pieces and hoping somebody in that big group of people has a property to sell, I'd probably use the postcard, but that's not what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using a very honed-in list. I'm targeting very specific sellers with my message, and I want them to get my message. So that's why we use the letter. So we can give them a strong headline. We give them a really strong personal message. In the body of my letter, we have a response mechanism. So that person is told and they understand that there's certain information that I want in order to determine whether or not there's a deal there to be made. And Sharon, honest to God, if you don't tell your sellers what you want them to do, they're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to, in the body of a letter, I tell the seller exactly what I want them to do. And what I don't want them to do is pick up a telephone and call me. And most of mine don't. 90% of the sellers I work with do not pick up a telephone and call me. And the reason for that is because I ask for really specific information, and I want them to send me photos of the property as well if they have them. So what they'll do is they will either fax, email, or mail me, you know, and mail back what I want. And so when I get the responses from my sellers, 90% of the responses I get from my sellers are already pre-screened for me.
And
that's another part of the automation in my business. That's what I want. I don't want to, you know, send them to an answering service or spend my whole day taking phone calls from people that aren't interested in working with me at all, but they got this postcard, you know, and they're calling, you know, to find out, hey, what's this all about, you know, and they're time wasters. You know, frankly, that's wasting my time in a really big way. So when I'm doing direct mail, I am targeting specific lists. Within each list that I send out, I am targeting specific types of sellers using specific parameters within that list to hone in on the sellers that are much more likely to want to work with me. And then we give them that response mechanism so I have the information that I need when I get that response, and so the deal's already pre-screened for me. So we take a whole bunch of obstacles right out of the equation from the beginning.